Welcome to another episode of The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes, the storytelling show that features The Clearing, where all good questions come to get asked and all good stories come to be told, and where all my guests have two things in common. They're all creative individuals and all with an interesting story to tell. There are some lovely storytelling metaphors. A clearing, a tree, a juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1, some alchemy, some gold, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. So it's all to play for. So yes, welcome to The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we shall begin. And there we are. Welcome to another exciting episode of The Good Listening To Show, Stories of Distinction and Genius, the show in which I invite movers, makers, shakers, mavericks, influencers, and also personal heroes into a clearing or serious happy place of their choosing to all share with us their stories of distinction and genius. And today it's my absolute pleasure to welcome, and I hope I'm going to pronounce this correctly, Adarsh Senthilnathan, or it could be Senthilnathan, but I think it's a Nathan. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
And Adarsh is a 15-year-old force of nature and a tour de force in that completely out of the blue, he got in touch from Cerritos High School, which I think is California. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
In the United States, completely unsolicited, saying that he'd love to be on the show because he needs and wants, he wants a platform to speak his knowledge and his truth. And the lovely, intriguing thing is that you want to invert the correlation between age and wisdom, because although you're only 15, you purport to having almost had two life worths of experience already. So you want a platform in which to speak your truth, I suppose, would be a fair way to sum that up.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you for having me on.
You're very welcome, Adarsh. So welcome to the show. It's going to be my pleasure to curate you through the journey a bit, which I'll explain a bit more in a moment. But if you just like to sort of go back a step, what made you want to get in touch in the first place? And thank you for doing so.
Yeah, so, you know, I've gained a lot of control over my mind, and I've always wanted to help spread the knowledge and the wisdom that I've gained over the years to the people of this world. So I'm just, I'm hungry for it. I'm continuing to reach out to podcasts that I think would be a good fit for me and has an audience that I could really relate to and I could spread my message to in order to help better people's lives. And that's essentially the goal.
And to cut to it, we'll curate you through the journey a bit, but what's the big message that you really want to impart?
Yeah, the big message that I really just want to get across is just to teach people how to utilize their mind and the things around them to make themselves better. Because I feel like nowadays our society is kind of mentally weak. And I think that we could really learn a lot by just listening to other people and gaining full control over our mentality and, like, you know, building ourselves up so that we can become successful and we can help our families out. We can help society out. And overall, just it's about personal development and working hard and stuff like that.
And I admire your courage to reach out. And, you know, stereotypically in society, somebody at 15 doesn't necessarily have the courage to say, I've got a lifetime's worth of wisdom already to be able to want to share my wisdom. So it's a pleasure to have you here to see how your thinking unfolds through the structure of what we're going to be doing. Hurrah. So at the tender age of 15, youth is very much on your side, but what are you currently working on at the moment? Are you at school at the moment? What's happening?
Yeah, so I'm currently in 11th grade right now. Outside of school, I like to play soccer, but in UK terms, football. And, you know, currently I've started a science project. I'm working towards, you know, getting rid of microplastics within our oceans. And though the funny thing about that project is, obviously, I care about the environment, but the main purpose and drive behind me completing that project and getting it out was not so that I could help save the planet. It was more towards so I could gain some credibility in the space so that when I am reaching out to different podcasts such as yours, I'm not some just random 15-year-old. At least I'm a 15-year-old who has work towards something and it's provided.
You're a very bold and majestic 15-year-old, if I may say so, because your email was very interesting, very intriguing. Because I do a lot of comedy improvisation, I've got a mindset of yes and normally in life I say yes and work it out later, or I say yes and, because you know, it can open up doors with lubricated hinges, you know, if you don't say yes. So I'm really open and receptive to that. And also, I did really notice that you've already come up with a viable prototype to remove microplastics from the sea, which is quite extraordinary. And I enjoyed reading that it says, with the help of the vortex and the bubbles, it makes it extraordinarily easy for the microplastic components to stick to the water bubbles. Yeah. That's my layperson's term. So do you want to just describe what your experiment did?
Yeah, so essentially what I'm doing is, so my project is completely at home, right? I'm not using any lab equipment, anything fancy like that. So what I took was I took an aluminum foil, I wrapped it into a tube, and I put some motors on it. And like I use like Arduino code to engineer the motors. And so essentially what happens is I create a vortex with a coffee frother, actually. So the vortex spins all the water with the plastics, and the vibrations from the aluminum foil create like waves within the water, so that the microplastics like naturally make their way towards the middle, and then they can be extracted that way.
And so just using a coffee frother, is that an extraordinary revealing of the truth? You've solved the ocean's microplastics with a coffee frother and a cardboard tube and some aluminium foil.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm most proud of with that invention itself, was the fact that, you know, I didn't spend a lot of money on it. I used stuff from home. So I kind of want to get the message across that you don't need everything. You don't need money. You don't need a lab. You don't need anybody's help. If you actually put your mind to it and you're dedicated to solving a problem and making a solution, it can happen no matter what resources that you have around you.
And has it actually worked in that you've applied it to an environment in which microplastics are present?
Yeah, so that's the next step. So I just recently finished the solution, and the article was posted maybe 1 or 2 months ago. So the next step is getting it out there. So I'm actively working with some professors and some researchers to help scale my project up.
And I did see it has been published. So there is some interest in your project. I know that is the case, because you sent me the newspaper article where you're featured.
Yeah.
So at the age of 15, there you are doing something, you know, viable with an extraordinary piece of kit, you know, that you wouldn't expect that the world would be solved by something as simple as I said, a cardboard tube, some aluminium foil and a coffee frother.
Yeah.
Lovely. So I wish you the very best of luck with that. And what are the scientists telling you so far, that you're onto something or?
They think there's potential behind it. So yeah, I definitely think it could work. I just need to put a little bit more time and focus onto that. But right now I'm more focused on getting like onto all the podcasts and spreading my message that way.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sure thing. Okay, so let's get you onto this podcast then in order to curate you through the journey and let your wisdom unpack as we go through. So there's going to be a clearing, a tree, a lovely juicy storytelling exercise called 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There's going to be some alchemy, some gold, a couple of random squirrels, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, a golden baton and a cake. So it's all to play for. So first of all, Adarsh Senthilnathan, what would you say your clearing is? Where do you go to get clutter-free, inspirational and able to think?
Yeah, so I kind of briefly mentioned it, but I say it's the field, or in UK the football pitch. Yeah. I think that's where I can really find myself. I like whenever I'm playing or whenever I'm just there, you know, all the thoughts, so that they just go away and it's just like me and a ball.
And is it the sort of the existential idea that the football pitch of life, is there a metaphor in there, and that there's lots of positions, lots of goals and targets to be hit at?
Yeah, you know, with sports in general, especially football, you can learn a lot of life lessons from it just by watching or even playing itself. You can learn a lot just about life, about your teammates, how you approach the game. And yeah, that's why I love it so much, because, you know, you're just with your friends. It's just you guys in a ball. You don't need a lot of equipment to play. You just have fun.
And who's your favorite soccer team, by the way?
Oh, my favorite soccer team. I'd have to go with Liverpool.
Excellent. So there you are, speaking from Cerritos. Whereabouts is Cerritos, by the way? Is that a conurbation?
It's in Los Angeles. Yeah, next to Los Angeles.
And what made you pick Liverpool as the team?
What made me pick Liverpool? It was the first, when I first started to get into watching soccer, it was the first game that I watched. So I decided to just stick with them.
And in life's football pitch, what position do you see yourself in?
Right now, I see myself in the middle of the field. I'm kind of taking control over my life right now. I'm taking control over my mind, figuring out all the different options that I have around me, where if I can go forward, backwards, whatever the case is. I'm just trying to make progress up the field.
So I'm hearing a sort of center forward or striker in there, because you're trying to strike, well, towards your, you're sort of kicking into the back of the net of your future, top bins, yeah, for your future. So here we are on your football pitch. Is it a specific football pitch that you'd like to sort of pin a ponytail and a map of? Or is it just generically football pitches make you happy?
I prefer a grass pitch than an AstroTurf, just because I believe that grass is more natural. I feel like it just flows better and it feels more at home.
And it's easier to be grounded if you're on real grass as well.
Yeah.
Love that. So you're on the football pitch of life. We can use that as the metaphor, and you can go into that metaphor much deeper if you want to later on. So here we are then on the football pitch of life. Let me now arrive with a tree, if you don't mind, in the middle of your football pitch, to shake it to see which storytelling apples fall out. So this is where you've been kind enough to have had 5 minutes to have thought about four things that have shaped you, Adarsh, three things that inspire you, two things that never fail to grab your attention, and borrowed from the film Up, that's the, well, squirrels. And then the one is a quirky or unusual fact about you we couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us. So over to you to shake the canopy of your tree as you see fit.
Yeah, so I guess we can start off with like the four things that shaped me within my life. And going back to the field and soccer, I think the one thing that shaped me the most, that I have special compared to other people like me, is my teammates and the environment around me. So my teammates, I met them approximately like 3 years ago, just a brand new group of friends. And, you know, we all love to play soccer, but outside of soccer, you know, we're all helping each other out and we're all having fun. And the thing that I love most about my teammates is they're really real. They're like, they're really honest with me. So if I'm doing something right, they'll tell me. If I'm doing something wrong, they'll tell me. They'll never sugarcoat anything. So that's taught me how to be real within my own life. It's taught me how to be honest with myself. And, you know, there's a lot of friendly banter that goes along there. So it provides me with tough skin, because the stuff that happens over there on the pitch with my teammates is going to be a lot harder than the stuff that's going to come at me in life. So if I could take their banter, I can. It's provided me with thick skin to see past the banter, you know, have fun with it, see that things aren't always so serious in life. And the reason why I love my teammates so much, and the reason why they've shaped me to be the person that I am today, is because we really bond together outside of the field, and we try and help each other a lot. So the reason why as a team, we stick together on the field, but outside we all have our own expertise and things that we're strong in. So we all help each other out. So for example, a couple of my teammates are really like knowledgeable when it comes to going to the gym. So they'll take the group of us, we'll go to the gym, they'll teach us like the right form, the exercises, stuff like that. Me and a couple other people, we are at least a little bit more knowledgeable than they are in investing and making money. So, you know, we all get together 6 o'clock in the morning, we invest in the stock market, we try and see what's best for us so that we all help each other out. So instead of one person shining at the top, it's all of us coming up together, and we're helping each other. We're helping all of each other out. We're taking our own strengths and applying it to our lives so that we can get better. So they've had a really big impact on my life, because I've learned a lot from them and what they do the best. Because I'm really knowledgeable. I have a lot of wisdom, but my wisdom goes more towards life and becoming successful and money and that sort of stuff. But they have more real or down to earth type of knowledge that I can gain from them. So just by talking to them, listening to them, learning from them, I can gain a lot, and it shaped me to be the person I am today.
And there's a lovely through line of you obviously enjoying being a collaborator in that too. And there's also the allegory of teamwork to make the dream work. So together as a sort of collaborative force of energy for success, I really like the through line of collaboration in there. So you're not just being a sort of maverick one man band in what you're trying to do.
Yeah. A lot of people try and take credit, like 100% credit for everything in their life. A lot of people try to be like the only person at the top, but I like to give credit where credit is due, because at the end of the day, I wouldn't be here in general. I wouldn't be here on this podcast talking to you if it wasn't for them to give me the courage, the confidence to be able to reach out to a podcast across the world. You know, it's hard, but they've given me a lot of wisdom. They've grown my skin. I'm able to take a lot more hate. I'm able to take a lot more negative stuff towards me. And
are you the only one of your team that are reaching out to you're trying to sort of put your voice into a platform of speaking to the world? Where are you the only one that's doing that?
Yeah. This is essentially my thing. No one else on my team is doing this, and that's okay, because eventually when I have perfected it, when I have made it to the top, I will be able to maybe spread my knowledge and wisdom to them. They can pass it on, and we can help increase our range, our audience, and we can all get to the top together eventually.
And just a quick question, how did you find out about this podcast even to get in touch in the first place?
So one thing that I'm really big on is consistency. So obviously my goal was to get on podcasts, to get my word across. So one thing that I did every day, and I made no exceptions toward, was to research a minimum of like 10 podcasts and make sure that I respond to 5. So I'm just going through lists of podcasts, going through their websites, seeing what they're about, and then I'll email and apply to be on 5 of them every single day. So that way, even it doesn't matter if I'm having a good day or a bad day, it doesn't matter my mood, that's like discipline right there, right? So no matter what, I'm making my way, I'm making progress down the field, essentially, to my end goal. So no matter like what my mood, environment, any of that, I'm at minimum making five podcasts, five steps forward.
And congratulations in doing that, because there's sort of, you do the math, there's sort of the math success there by being tenacious and keeping consistent.
Yeah.
And I hope I'm not, well, I know you sent me you've already been on a podcast called Force of Nature, haven't you? No, hang on, what's it called? The Optimal Life
with
Nate Haber. am I number two, or have you done many, many more?
You are number two, yes.
Cashier number two, please. So I've got a comedy bell for when... Well, I'm delighted to have been the second one, and I hope many, many more say yes to you as well.
Thank you.
Will be interesting as well. The comedy rule of three will be interesting, whatever the third one is. But anyway, hurrah. I'm glad that I became part of your mathematical equation. And here we are with you in the Good Listening To show. So your first shapeage then is the football team and the squad and the collaboration. What would be your second shapeage?
My second one goes back to my microplastic project. So this project I've been working on for a total of 2 years.
Yeah.
And I actually, I applied this project to like a competition. It's called the science fair. I put this project in, and funnily enough, I didn't place in my county. So my county gives an award to the top five people, and I didn't even make the top five in my county. Forget about state, national, country, forget about all that. I didn't make it in the county. And as my mom, as a loving mom, her first reaction was to like console me. She was like, "Oh, it's okay. Maybe think of a new project and we'll try again next year." But in my mind, that struck me in the wrong way, because I was like, just because I didn't place doesn't mean that the problem is solved. I should continue to focus on this problem, this project, because it doesn't matter how many times I fail. It doesn't matter how many awards that I don't get for the project. At the end of the day, the plastics are still in the ocean. Like me not doing this project isn't going to stop the plastics from leaving the ocean. So what I did was I worked on it by myself for a year and a half. Every single day, minimum of 30 minutes, I'm just working on it no matter what. And it took 9 prototypes for me to finally get to this final project. And the thing that shaped me the most is the failure of each prototype, because most people, after losing that science fair, they would have given up. Just like my mom said, they would have found a new project. I decided to stick with it. After the first prototype, when it failed, maybe people started to think, maybe this project doesn't work. You know, maybe this is not the one. But I kept going, second one, third one, fourth one, all the way up to the ninth one. So the mentality that I built, the like my resilience to failure and quitting and giving up, the things that I learned from just completing that project itself, forget about the project, the scientific knowledge I gained, the mental strength and resilience that I gained from failure from that project, that's what shaped me today the most. Because my journey for reaching out to podcasts and, you know, really taking action to fulfilling my purpose started about 2 years ago. So this project has been with me the whole way. So as I'm applying to podcasts, as I'm going on to all these things and speaking, I'm actively facing failure. So like everything that I say, I've actually done in my life, which gives me essentially the credibility of what I wanted from my microplastic project. So all the failure that's come with that and the mindset that I've gained has helped shape me to the person I am today.
You're in very good company, by the way. You'll have heard the story of Thomas Edison, who invented the light bulb. He spent about 999 different experiments not inventing the light bulb. And then there was the magic light bulb moment when he did invent it. So you're in very good company that you've only had 9 prototypes, but it works. Yeah. And has it began to work now? Have you put it into an environment? I'm really humorous. I love the fact that it's actually at its source a cardboard tube with some aluminium foil and a coffee frother. But have you put it into an environment where there are microplastics present?
Not yet. That's the next step. Currently, we're small testing it in a lab. And right now it's working, but we still need to scale it up to make it into like a pond or a lake, for example.
Lovely. So I love the through line of tenacity is what I was trying to say there is really good. So keep on keeping on and keep on keeping on. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Third shapeage?
The third shapeage is a little bit more of a personal one that's closer to home, closer to the heart. And it was when I was at a young age of about 6 or 7, I'm not too sure to be honest, but I was placed in a foster home, and that was one of the hardest things in my life. Not because the foster home was obviously hard, but I was blessed and lucky enough to not stay there for long. I was able, my parents were able to take me out, and now we're living all happily together. But the reason why that foster home has such a big impact on my life was because at that age, that's the age where you first start to find the feeling of love. Of affection. That's when at that age, all your family is loving you. You have friends that you can play with. You know, everybody is babying you in a sense. And from going up here to being loved so much, and all of a sudden, no mom to talk to, no dad to talk to, no siblings, none of that. You're by yourself. That big drop from having everybody to having no one, that's what impacted me the most. And I don't want to use this foster home experience as a sob story or as a sympathy story. I'm grateful that it happened to me. I'm grateful that it happened in my life, because that was the start of my journey to gaining collecting wisdom. It was a start of my journey to finding and fulfilling my purpose in life. It was the very first lesson that I ever learned in life, and it was to never trust anybody, and so always back myself, always invest in myself. Because at that age, I thought I had everything. You know, I was playing soccer, I was playing games, I was having fun with my family, and all of a sudden, before you know it, I'm by myself. And that feeling is extremely hard to deal with, especially at that young of an age. But as time went on, as I've gained more experience, wisdom, knowledge, as I've gotten older, I've started to become more grateful for the experience. I've started to extract more lessons from it that I wouldn't have extracted if I hadn't been there, obviously. So that experience as a whole shaped me, not in a bad way, not in a sympathetic way, not in a sad way, but it shaped me to become a better person. It shaped me to always live my life without any regrets, always go towards something, because at the end of the day, I'm the only person that can make me successful, and I'm the only person who can stop me from being successful. I'm the only person, you know, it's my choice to send out 5 emails a day. It's my choice to, you know, work on this microplastic project to gain some credibility in the area. I don't have to do any of that. I could just be going to school like a normal person, but I want to make sure that I'm investing all my time and energy to making myself better, to getting to where I want to be, because obviously I recognize that I am young. I have the energy, I have the time, so I'm going to utilize it well. And it takes sacrifice. Obviously this foster home experience, it takes skipping out on parties, skipping out on, you know, the high school football games. But at the end of the day, I'm willing to do all those things. I'm willing to make those sacrifices because I want it that bad. So that experience as a whole has shaped my entire mentality of always backing myself and always investing everything into myself to become better. So yeah, that's probably the best thing.
And I'm sorry that happened for you. And how long a period of your life was it when you were not able to be with your family? Because I was delighted to hear a little while ago you said you did describe your mum as being very loving. So it sounds like you're all back together again now and it's all landed the right way up.
Yeah, no, it is perfectly fine. It was, the reason why I went wasn't a family related. I don't actually know the reason why I went. My parents haven't told me, which is completely, completely fine. I respect that decision. But it had nothing to do with love, because even when I was in that home, they still were able to reach out to me, and they gave me a stuffed animal, which I still have today. I keep it very close to my heart, because that's a source of motivation right there. Because every time I look at that animal, it reminds me of that little boy sitting in that home with no one else to talk to, that little boy who was just learning life for himself. So every time I look at that, it pushes me to keep going. On the days where I don't want to send out the emails, the days I don't want to work towards becoming better, that's my source of motivation. It gets me through those things. I was only in the home for maybe a month or so. It was a very short amount of time. I'm extremely blessed and lucky to have made it out so quickly, because I know a lot of people haven't had that same ability to get out that early. So I'm extremely grateful and blessed for that experience, not only because I was able to get out so early, but for all the lessons that I learned within it.
And in terms of where you're trying to get to, you know, future projection, future focus, football pitch, top bins, what would be a sort of in the back of the net goal for you?
A top bins goal would just be me fulfilling my purpose in life, because it doesn't matter. I love talking. I love spreading my wisdom. I love learning. I love all of those things. But the thing that I want to stick with the most is, it doesn't matter how many people that I impact in my life. It could be one person. It could be a million people. But as long as I have impacted someone's life positively, as long as I've inspired somebody, motivated somebody, that's my goal right there. It doesn't have to be a lot of people. One person would be the same thing for me as a million people. So I just want to keep growing. I want to keep getting on podcasts, expanding my audience, expanding my knowledge, to eventually get to essentially the top of my life, get control.
And the end purpose, sort of the mount, you know, everyone wants to live atop the mountain. What's the top of the mountain for you? Where are you trying to head in terms of your purpose?
In terms of my purpose, I just want to inspire as many people as I can. I want to impact and affect as many people as I can with my words, because I have a lot of wisdom that's going to help people get through life. It's going to help them guide themselves. It's going to help them build their mentalities. It's going to help develop them on a physically. It's going to help them develop them mentally. I have the knowledge and wisdom to make people better. I just want to spread it. And so getting to the top of the mountain would just be getting as many as podcasts as I can.
So it's a desire to be a motivational speaker and a sort of global influencer.
Yeah, that's correct.
I'm just trying to understand it myself so I can help you and I both articulate it.
Yeah. I want to be a speaker. Essentially my projection. I want to be able to speak on stages. I want to be able to speak to as many people as I can. Doesn't matter the background, race, any of that, anybody. My knowledge is for life in general, which we are all living currently. So having such a broad audience is a positive and a good thing for me, because it allows me to just get wherever I, it doesn't restrict me to talking to anyone.
And already the lessons that I can hear that you've learned for yourself are courage, tenacity, optimism, and a real desire to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So lovely stuff so far. And I think we're now onto the fourth element to shape you.
Yeah. So the fourth element that has shaped my life into who I am today is, funnily enough, social media, but specifically Instagram. So we all a majority of us have that problem where when we're on Instagram and we're just like catch ourselves scrolling through the posts, through the reels, the TikToks.
Yeah.
We all catch ourselves scrolling, and I was able to get some control over my mind, and I was able to identify that as one of my weaknesses, because if I'm spending time scrolling, that's time taken away from developing myself physically, mentally, all of that. So the first step is to identify the problem, which I did. So my problem was scrolling, and I tried putting a time limit. It didn't work. I just went past the time limit. So one thing that I was able to find a solution towards was following quote pages. So there's a bunch of Instagram accounts and pages that post motivational speeches, videos, quotes from athletes, entrepreneurs, businessmen. So by following as many of those accounts as I can, every time that I catch myself scrolling, it's all videos like, oh, get off your phone, get to work. All videos that are providing me. So even when I'm at my weakest point in the day, even when I am at my like weakness, stuff that's holding me back, I'm still learning, because I'm still gaining wisdom and knowledge from other people, their quotes. And that's the thing that I love so much about social media, and that the way I approach life is, obviously my knowledge, it's come from my experiences, right? But I would attribute about 40% of the wisdom to myself. So that's all personal experiences, whether it's the foster home, microplastics, soccer, any of that, that's about 40%. But all the other knowledge comes from everybody else. So what I'm extremely good at is listening. And it's one of the skills that I've learned to grasp. And when I'm able to listen to anyone at any time, and I'm able to take something positive from them. So from all these different quotes, pages, athletes, businessmen, motivational speakers talking to me, I'm able to take the best things from what they said, see what fits for me, and apply it to my life. So about 60% of my knowledge and wisdom comes from already successful people. So, and the thing with Instagram is it's so large, it's such a global base. I'm able to pull so much information from everybody else, so many inspirational messages, quotes, things that can help me become better as a person, so that maybe on another podcast like this that I'm applying to the audience, and I'm hopefully spreading their messages to the audience, I'm taking the best parts of people's life and bringing it into mine and applying it to myself. So that's shaped me tremendously, because it's given me a majority of my knowledge and wisdom. And the best part about it is it's coming from Instagram, something that most people see as a hindrance to their success. I'm turning my weakness into a strength, because now every time that I'm scrolling on Instagram, I'm learning, I'm gaining wisdom, I'm getting motivated, I'm taking in knowledge. So essentially, one thing that shaped me was the entirety of the world And having such a global source provides me with unlimited amount of capabilities and opportunities to learn from people, to apply the stuff that they said into my life, take it in for myself, so that when I am on these podcasts, I can help deliver those messages and spread them out. So essentially the world has shaped me. Social media, technology, Instagram has shaped me. And most people see social media as a negative, which it can be. But if you actually identify the problem and take essentially control of your life, you can turn that negative into a positive, the weakness into the strength. So even when I am scrolling, I'm getting better. So that's probably one of the biggest things that shaped me in my life, besides my the other things.
I like the perfect antidote to doom scrolling, which is brain food scrolling, your brain scrolling, because you're very selective about where you're going inside your head, mm-hmm. in terms of what it is you're scrolling down through. Yeah. And we'll get on to a leadership quote or a quote that's given you succor. So we'll get on to what your favorite quote of the moment might be from what you're absorbing. So mm-hmm. you're a sort of a learning, you're a motivational sponge. You're sort of learning from the world and absorbing it in order to help you with your future protection of self.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives, just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active, super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world. And hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so now three things that inspire you, Adarsh. If there's any overlap, don't worry, but that's lovely shapage so far. Three things that inspire you now.
Yeah, so the first thing that would inspire me is my parents. Most people say their parents, obviously just the parents, dad, mom, they work extremely hard. But the thing that inspires me most about my parents is their journey, because both of them were raised and brought up in India. And they don't come from rich families. They come from very poor families. And my dad was sent to America with $50 in his pocket. Obviously, America is an expensive country. He came with my mom. And at that time, neither of them had jobs. So my dad and my mom are both living in America currently, or this a lot of years ago, but in this story, they're both living currently with $50 in their pocket in a brand new country. They barely know the English language. They learned it from their college back in India. But their story is super inspiring to me, because my dad was able to secure a job a couple months later, But my mom didn't get a job until a couple years. So my dad not only had to take care of himself, not only did he have to take care of all the bills, he was the only financial source. So he had to take care of food, the bills, the home. He had to take care of himself, my mom as well. And the main reason that his parents sent him to India so that he could get a better life and help them back out. So he not only did he have to take care of himself, he also had to provide like remittances. He had to send money back to his home so that he can take care of his parents. So my dad had the weight of not only his entire family, but my mom as well and himself. And it was just him. He was the only financial source of income at that time. So it's really inspiring to me because they took so many risks when they first came here. And even now, both my parents are working extremely hard. They work hours and hours on end. You know, they're always in meetings, talking, trying to get better. And the thing is, they make a fair bit of income now. They make a lot of money, but none of that money ever goes to them. You know, you'll never catch my mom in a nail salon. You'll never catch my dad buying new clothes. You know, when every time we go to a restaurant, they're always looking at the cheapest thing on the menu. And I asked them, why don't you buy it? I know you can buy it for yourself. Why don't you buy it? And she said, and my mom said that because she would rather invest the money into my knowledge, my education, my ability to play soccer. So that itself is such an inspiration to me, because if I didn't chase my dreams, if I didn't make it, if I didn't put my time and energy into making it onto these podcasts and fulfilling my purpose, it would be a disrespect to their entire journey of America and taking care of me. So that itself is inspiring. And most people in life, they look for a lot. They look for motivation. You know, motivation is great. Motivation is good, but it's only good for a certain amount of time. But the thing is, the motivation is relying in your family, because I don't want my mom to pick the cheapest thing on the menu. I want my mom to take care of herself. I want my dad to buy new clothes. So my motivation comes from my parents. My inspiration comes from my parents. I don't necessarily want to be like them, but I'm going to learn so much from them. And their journey itself has inspired me so much, because they essentially came from nothing. And they were able to invest everything into me so that I could have a chance and opportunity at this world. So it'd be a disrespect to them if I didn't try my very best.
And do you have brothers and sisters as well, or they're all focused very much on your development?
I do. I have an older sister right now. She's in college. She's in her junior year of college.
That's a lovely source of inspiration. Thank you so much. Now, another thing that might have inspired you?
Another thing that inspires me, it sounds a little bit selfish, but it's myself.
No, that's fine.
the progress that I've made inspires me. So every time I reach out to a podcast and they respond back to me, that's progress right there. And that inspires me. So when I first got into my first podcast, now in my head, I'm thinking, oh, I can do that now. So it inspires me to keep going. And I landed this podcast. Oh, I landed two podcasts. Now I can get a third. I landed four. I can get a fifth. And I just keep going. So my growth, my progress, my journey inspires me. And
presumably podcasts aren't the end game of your platform. Presumably you'd like to be doing TED Talks, and you want to be on a global stage, really. Do you want your own sort of foundation? Do you want your own company someday as well?
You know, wherever life takes me, I'm always willing to go into anything. Because at the end of the day, I leave everything up to God. So wherever He takes me, whatever is destined in my future, I'll take full advantage of any opportunity that I get.
And third inspiration?
My third inspiration, it's gonna have a little bit overlap with the four things that shape me. Essentially, it's the world again. But it's in a different viewpoint or a different sense this time. Because when you're surrounded with a friend group and social media, because on social media, everybody only posts the good things, right? Whenever you're looking, no one posts the failures. No one posts them like losing a race. They'll post them winning. They'll post the successes. So when you're looking at social media, you're seeing all of these people winning. And most people, they kind of get jealous of that. And I'm not saying that I never get jealous in life, but one thing that inspires me is other people's successes, because if they're able to do it, so am I. And their successes, especially my friends, like the people that I grew up with, I'm never going to be jealous of anything that they ever do. I'm never going to be jealous of their successes because I'm happy for them. I'm proud for them. If anything, I'm not jealous. I'm just inspired by their work. Them winning inspires me to do more. It inspires me to get better. Every time they, in a game, say my friend scores 3 goals, I'm not jealous of him. That's just going to inspire me to try and score as well. So I'm inspired by my friends. I'm inspired by social media, Instagram, the world, and having such a big source of inspiration, motivation, having such a big source of knowledge is extremely powerful in my life because I'm always learning no matter what time of day it is. Because even if my friends aren't winning, someone else out there on social media has posted them winning. And that's going to inspire me and it's going to help me get better, progress, develop. And yeah, so that's probably my source of inspiration, my third one.
Lovely. Great stuff. Now we're on to 2 squirrels. You know what never fails to grab your attention, irrespective of anything else that may be going on for you. Oh, squirrels. So what are your squirrels of distraction, Adarsh?
Yeah, so one thing that never fails to grab my attention is people who have essentially had their back against the wall. I'm not sure if you heard of that phrase, back against the wall.
Yeah.
But essentially, it's when the only option is forward. So one perfect example of this is a person like struggling in life, a person, maybe let's say a dad who's trying to provide for his family. His back is against the wall because if he doesn't work, if he doesn't continue to get better, there's not going to be food on the plate. There's not going to be a roof over his head. So his back against the wall. And I always am able to look at those people who have had their back against the wall and get inspired. And it's applied to my life, obviously in a different way. My back is against the wall. I'm going to be completely honest. I live in a perfectly good home. I live with loving parents, a loving family, supportive friends. And, you know, there's a lot of successful people in the world that say, oh, the most successful people are people who've had their back against the wall. And that struck a thought in my head. So just because I don't have my back against the wall doesn't mean I can't be successful. And they're like, no. So what I decided to do was I decided to actually put my back against the wall, but in a more figurative and mentally perspective, because if I didn't chase my dreams, if I didn't work towards getting on these podcasts, if I didn't work to fulfill my purpose, then I would have to take the normal route of going into college. I would have to take the normal route of following the education path that most high schoolers and 16-year-olds and 15-year-olds in the US and the UK take themselves. But one thing that I pride myself the most about is going against the grain, going against what everybody else is doing. So if everybody else is going left, I'm going right. Because realistically, nobody else is talking on podcasts and having so much confidence in themselves. But the reason why I'm so confident is because I've prepared, and confidence comes from preparation. It comes from hard work. And I know for myself and my heart that I've done the work. I've went through the experiences. I've went through the failures. I've gained all of that. So one thing that never fails to grab my attention is other people who have also had their back against the wall. So I can learn from their stories. I can learn how they apply themselves to the situations, how they made it out, stuff like that.
And by the way, a quote which might really help you, which you probably know, which is do what you can with what you have where you are now. And that works in the bad times and the good times. Even when you're right at the top of the mountain, do what you can with what you have where you are now. And at all points in between in your life, that's a really good mantra, which a previous guest of just over a week ago actually said on the show. So I learned that as a sort of inspirational quote to share with you now.
Thank you.
Another squirrel of distraction.
Another thing that never fails to grab my attention would be people at the gym, because going to the gym is extremely, it's a mentally tough thing more than it is a physically tough thing. Because if you go to the gym for a day, you're not going to see any progress. If you go for a week, you won't see anything. If you go for a month, you'll start to see a little bit. But if you take one day off, that'll set you back an entire month. And it's going to the gym is all about your mindset. So every time that I go to the gym, I always respect everybody in there. And I never fail to acknowledge all those people, because I understand that they're taking time out of their day. They're utilizing discipline to work on themselves, to get, you know, physically stronger, to get a little bit more healthier. And even if they're not seeing any physical benefits, they're still going. And that's something mentally strong, especially for the human race, because the humans, we're just designed to want results. We're designed for the end goal. We're always looking towards the goal that sometimes we forget to actually look at the journey and appreciate the journey. So it's something that I'm taking into my life like right now as we speak, because obviously I'm extremely grateful and appreciative that I'm talking to you on this podcast. And like deep inside, I'm really happy that I'm able to be here and spread my message and talk to your audience. But I'm also grateful and appreciative for the journey of me getting onto this podcast. You know, I had to send out the email, reach out to you, and every day that consistency, I'm starting to appreciate and love the journey more than I am the result. And going back to the gym, that's extremely important. And the going to the gym is mentally hard, because not only do you have to push yourself when you're there, you have to push yourself to actually arrive at the gym. That's discipline right there. That's consistency. You know, going to the gym, it's not easy. Most people go early mornings or late night nights just because they have work in the middle of the day. So it's just inspiring. I always acknowledge and respect the people who do those, because I understand that they don't have to. It's a personal choice. They do it to help better themselves, develop themselves so that they can help provide for their families, for their friends. And yeah, it's one thing that I really respect.
There's another quote for you, which is, there's no shortcut to success. Tomorrow we go again. Yeah. Get up, yeah. Wash, rinse, repeat. Get up, wash, rinse, repeat. Keep tenacious. It links beautifully to your through line of keeping going with your emails, keeping going with your movement forward, even though your back is or isn't against the wall, keep on moving. Wonderful. Yeah. And we definitely have a desire to keep on moving and keep on going, but alas, that's the end of time for today's episode on UK Health Radio. If you'd like to listen to the end straight away of the wonderful episode with the truly inspirational 15-year-old Adarsh Senthil-Nathan, then you can go to Buzzsprout, where the podcast proper is hosted straight away, to hear that. Very shortly, it will also in its full-length form be on the UK Health Radio podcast space too, but that brings us, as I say, to the end of time for today. So yes, thank you to my wonderful guest. So happy that he got in touch with me out of the blue to use this platform to start to share his message with the world. He really is someone to keep an ear out for and an eye on for his future, which I'm sure will be fantastic. So I've been Chris Grimes. That was Adarsh Senthil-Nathan. You can contact him directly at adarshsenthilnathan@gmail.com if you'd like him to be on your podcast, which obviously he'd really, really like. I've been Chris Grimes. That was Adarsh Senthil-Nathan. Until next time, join me for more stories from the clearing. To your good health and goodbye.
You've been listening to The Good Listening To show here on UK Health Radio with me, Chris Grimes. Oh, it's my son.
If you've enjoyed the show, then please do tune in next week to listen to more stories from the clearing.
If you'd like to connect with me on LinkedIn, then please do so. There's also a dedicated Facebook group for the show too. You can contact me about the programme, or if you'd be interested in experiencing some personal impact coaching with me, care of my Level Up Your Impact programme, that's chris@secondcurve.uk. On Twitter and Instagram, it's
@thatchrisgrimes.
So until next time, from me, Chris Grimes, from UK Health Radio, and from Stan,
to your good health.
Goodbye.